Hi, welcome to the Office 365 Developer Series. My name is Richard DeZeriga, and in this module, we're going to explore how to build an Office 365 connector. So as a high-level agenda, we're going to do just a brief introduction of things. We're going to jump into what an Office 365 connector is and why you should care about them. Then we're going to get into the meat of this module, where we'll look at how to develop an Office 365 connector and even some advanced development scenarios. So it really helps to start with a foundation around Office 365 development opportunity. We think there is a significant opportunity out there for Office 365 developers. And it really falls across three different pillars. One is the users. We have a huge user base of Office. There's 1.2 billion users of Office around the world. And most of those users spend a good part of their day either inside of Office or leveraging some of the Office services. In the middle, we have data. There is a staggering amount of data that is collected and collaborated on inside of Office 365. So just some of the statistics here, 4 trillion emails sent in Office 365, 3 billion minutes of Skype calls daily, and 1 billion meetings created every month. I mean, those are staggering numbers to me. And that's data that we want users to be able to use in other places by having developers tap into it and make it more valuable to their application. The third pillar is really around intelligence. As we are collecting all this vast amount of data in the cloud, we're not just throwing it into a table until the next time a user goes and accesses it. We have an intelligent machine learning layer that's looking at how that data is being used. We're looking at things like who's collaborating with who and what they're collaborating on so that we can really develop some very rich insights. And so this is some things that we have exposed through things like the Microsoft Graph. It's a subset of the Office Graph that provides these really rich intelligence around what's going on in the cloud. So these are kind of the developer opportunity kind of areas. How does that apply to what a developer can do? Well, first of all, a developer can connect into all that data. They can build from their standalone existing application, they can tap into Office 365 and use all that data and insights in their application. Secondly, developers can build solutions on top of Office, inside of Office. So this would be the concept of an add-in, and add-ins have been around almost as long as Office has been around. And we continually add new capabilities for developers to customize that experience through add-ins. The third area is probably the newest for a developer, and that is this conversation or concept of a conversation. And conversations are broad. In this case, it could be anything from, being able to tap into the capabilities of Skype, where users are having all kinds of real-time conversations, or it could be things like Office 365 connectors. For a connector, what we'll see is that we can bring any kind of data into Office 365 and let users have conversations around that. So for that, let's jump into an overview of Office 365 connectors. So what is a connector? Ultimately, it is a way of bringing useful third-party information and content into Office 365 groups. Okay, big deal. I can put some data into a group. Well, it's really a lot more intelligent than that. Is by putting that data into Office 365, we can enable the Office 365 things on top of it. So we can enable things like conversations. I can have full kind of social communication around that content. We can collaborate on that content, and you can even take action on that content and information. And we'll look at how we can take action and do some of these things as we go throughout this module. Information sent into a connector can be both transactional or it could be more aggregated. So imagine as someone creates a purchase order or a help desk ticket or checks in some code, that's transactional type of things where I can send that information into Office 365 and let people within a group know that those things occurred. The aggregated thing would be, well, maybe I want to aggregate things and send an hourly or a daily brief around everything that occurred in that last hour or day. And so you could kind of take both those approaches with connectors, but ultimately it's getting that third-party data into a group. Our vision around Office 365 groups is that it is the aggregated kind of one-stop shop for collaboration in a group. And so you'll see it pulls in all kinds of things like files and calendars and conversations, notebooks, and all that third-party data. And so again, it's a really heavy concentration is that group collaboration. Connectors can be added both from the connector catalog within the group UI, and we'll look at that, but they can also be added from a third-party application, which we'll actually do today. We'll build a third-party app, and we'll actually send kind of that new connection into Office 365 from that third-party website. So kind of two ways for those to be originated. And then I would say that the connector catalog is a great way of making your connector that you've built discoverable by others. So it's easy for someone to go out, look and see what's there and say, oh, that'd be really useful for my group. I do that all the time. And so those are kind of the value prop for that connector catalog. On the other side of my screen, one of the things you see is a connector. And I kind of take it a step further by actually showing how you could have conversation around that. So in this case, it was an update to a card in Trello. So you can see there's a little Trello card down there. Notice that there's an action. In this case, it's just a view action where I can go view that in Trello, but you could get a lot more creative about how you put actions in these connector cards. But in this case, it looks like someone on the group noticed this, and he actually pulled someone into the conversation. He at-mentioned Nathan. And so that's that concept of being able to pull information in and do full conversations around that data. And so that's a big value proposition of connectors, is being able to pull that data in and have conversations around it. There are two types of connectors I'll point out. One is a first-party connector. A first-party connector is actually developed by Microsoft. So the scenario here is, as Microsoft is enhancing what connectors can do, we might find a service or a site or a product that would really showcase that capability in a connector. And so sometimes we'll actually build a connector for the community. And so a good example of that is Twitter. We found that there were some really rich APIs already available for Twitter that we could tap into. And so we built the Twitter connector that we'll look at later. And there's one unique difference about a first-party connector and a third-party that we'll talk about here in a moment. In a first-party connector, because it's built by Microsoft, it often will have a custom configuration page. And that's really the only reason I bring this up. If you go out and you add a connector, and you're like, hey, how'd they get this custom configuration page? And that's probably because it's a first-party connector. Other than that, a third-party connector, there's really no other difference. They show up in the connector catalog right alongside the same connectors that Microsoft built. You really can't tell the difference other than maybe on that configuration screen. But any developer, any partner, any company can go build a connector to send that useful information into Office 365. And we'll find that they're actually very easy to build. I should note that although you don't get to build your own custom configuration screen inside of Office 365, you can on your own website. So you can still achieve some of the same things. And actually, we'll look at that in some of the advanced scenarios. So two types of connectors, the first-party connectors, and then the third-party connectors that anyone can build. Connectors have been very popular. They haven't been out that long, but we already have a huge list of partners that have built great connectors that send very useful information and deliver very powerful scenarios with their third-party application and Office 365 combined. So I just went and grabbed a bunch of logos. This list is changing on a daily basis. Almost every day, new connectors are showing up in the connector catalog. And we hope that your logo will be here soon. So let's do a quick demo of an Office 365 connector, check it out, see how it works. What I'm gonna do is jump over to a browser. I'm here in Office 365. This is just a developer tenant that I use. And because connectors today are centered around an Office 365 group, I'm gonna create one. Now we have vision of connectors fitting into maybe more of an individual's life and even maybe kind of other unique scenarios. But for now, we think the really big opportunity is around group collaboration. So what I'll do is I'll just create a quick group here. We'll call this our we'll call this the O365 Dev Series group. The next thing after creating the group, it's going to ask me to add some members. I could skip this if I want to, but I'll just go ahead and add a few here. We'll add Nathan, maybe Lily, and Israel. So this is going to go and provision my group. And right off the bat, you're going to see some rich things around, like kind of that aggregation of all of the things that a group collaborates on. So as I zoom into the top here of this group, you can see I have conversations, which would be kind of the social wall, if you will, for this group, where we can have all kinds of rich conversations on topics. You can see I have a calendar, I have files, I have a notebook, and then we have this concept of connectors. And so what I'm going to do is jump out to this connectors tab, and that's going to launch the connector catalog. And again, this connector catalog has lots and lots and lots of connectors. And so we do have a quick way you can go through and find things. I'm going to add a Twitter connector. This is one, again, it's a first party that Microsoft built. And so when I say add, this is that custom configuration screen. And we'll look at how you can achieve this as a third party developer. But in this case, it's a part of Office 365 here where I can configure this. So the first thing it says is, please choose a Twitter account. I've already connected to Twitter from here before, and so it already has that saved for me. If I wanted to, I could go add a new Twitter account. So it pops this up here, and I could do my, you know, sign-in credentials, and it would go back and add that. Looks like I did the wrong password. There we go. It's going to redirect me back, and now I'm connected there. Now, what I can do in this connector, the Twitter connector, is I can get tweets sent into Office 365 so that I can like view those and collaborate around those. And ultimately, what I'm doing here is specifying the criteria that I want to see those tweets by. So I can look for at mention. So maybe I want to see Rich Diz. I can add kind of whatever I want here for different accounts. I can also track certain hashtags. If I wanted to see maybe Office 365 Dev, which is the official hashtag of Office 365 development. And then in terms of notifications, I can look for mentions, I can look for retweets. And then kind of this, here's another interesting concept at the bottom is there's this frequency option where I can choose to have a digest, which would be kind of the aggregated version, or I can look at things transactionally. So you can see I can deliver individual messages as tweets arrive. And so in this case for Twitter, if you have a really popular account that you're listening to, probably don't want things transactional. I would probably recommend more of a digest because it's going to be just bombarding your group with all those connectors coming in. But in this case, I'm not that popular, so we'll go ahead and go with me. And so I'll go ahead and save this. And that will, in a sense, connect that connector with my group. You can see that it's configured here, and it says anything... tweets from Rich Diz that contain Office 365 Dev. And so let's see if we can't get this to show up for us. Now, one thing it's going to say, there's new activity. That's just saying that Twitter is now connected to our Office 365 group. But let's move this to the side. What I'm going to do is just do a quick tweet here. So let's say Rich Diz. Doing some Office 365 Dev at night. So I'll go ahead and tweet that. So that goes out there. And now this, just based on the Twitter API, this usually isn't something that's automatic, but here in a short time, what's going to happen is this will actually show up. That tweet will show up here because I did ask for the kind of individual thread of that. So I rather than sitting here waiting for it, let me see if I have one that does have a tweet. I'm going to have to kind of look through some of these. Here's some example of some Twitter feeds that come through. So you can see here's one where certain people were mentioned. And again, I can have full conversation around this. I can just go and ultimately, you know, have full conversations. I can mention people. Hey, Nathan, did you see this tweet? And have all, again, I was able to pull Nathan into this and we can have cool conversations. And you can see that there are actions here as well. I can view in Twitter. There might be other types of actions that I might be able to add to this as well that we'll look at later on. But a really great way of being able to get third-party data and into here. The kind of latency in terms of how data shows up is really completely on you as a developer. I can send things in real time, or again, I can wait and have those things aggregated. And so in this case, I'm guessing we'll see if it's shown up yet in our, still hasn't shown up. And what my guess here is that there's just some latency with the Twitter connector right now. Awesome. Let's jump back to the slides. And let's talk about developing an Office 365 connector. So for developing Office 365 connectors, there's going to be a few things that we're going to need to do. First of all, there's going to be a registration. I need to go register my custom connector out on a portal. So if you go to office or outlook.office.com/connector/publish, and we'll go out here as well, I ultimately go out here and I specify all of the details for what I want my connector to do. I can specify a description. One of the most important things in here is that I'm going to specify what we call a redirect URL. And this will make a lot more sense as we go further on into how to build these connectors. But the way you can allow a user to connect to one of these connectors is you could provide a link on your website that says, hey, connect to Office 365. When they click on that link, you actually have to send them to Office 365 for them to be able to sign in and consent to your connector. They have to actually approve the connector to be able to send data in. Once that's done, Office 365 needs to know where we send the data back to. So you need a reply URL. It's kind of a callback, and we'll look at that here in just a moment. But ultimately, that's where you're going to receive all the subscription details of that user subscribing to your connector. And so you can see here, this is that connector dashboard, and it does a lot of great things. It even will generate a connect to Office 365 button for you. So it'll actually build up all that markup. This is that markup in more detail. So you can see it's generated automatically, and you can just copy and paste that into your website. I will say that you don't have to necessarily go with this markup. If you look, it's basically just a href. It's just an anchor. So you can grab this link, this redirect link. And if you look at it in more detail, even you can see that it specifies that callback URL in it. And so you could easily take this and use it in other ways. In fact, we'll look at some really creative ways in the advanced section where this can be used not only in a web application, but you could actually do this in a mobile application. So if you have a cool mobile app, you could say, hey, I still want to be able to send data into a group. How do I connect from this mobile device? And ultimately, all the information that you need is in this little generated href. You can see it has an app ID and a callback URL. So here is that callback. So this is a way, it's just some view that you have in your website, some page or view, that Office 365 can direct back to that will also contain some useful information as URL parameters. So it doesn't need to accept any sort of special post data. It's all just going to be in the URL. And so when the data comes back, it's going to have two really important things. One is a group name. So it'll actually specify the name of the group that the user connected to. That's helpful because you can keep track of, you know, hey, do they already have a subscription for this group? And you can kind of keep track of all the groups that a user might have your connector connected to. The second thing is what we call a webhook URL. And we'll talk about the webhook in more detail, but ultimately the webhook is a way, that's your way of sending data into Office 365. That's kind of that endpoint that you can send your data into. It's not, you're not sending a mail into Office 365. You're sending a block of JSON data, and you'll be able to format that in different ways that you want. I will say that the callback URI is not dynamic. You can't like change it on the fly. However, there is a state parameter that you can use for certain dynamic scenarios. So when you go and provide the redirect, you can actually specify, hey, here's a state. And you can use that for almost anything. I think it's really valuable for maybe keeping track of where the user was at in your website so that when we come back and we finish the connection with the connector, we can take them back to where they started. I would say keep in mind that you need to keep that webhook endpoint secure. It is app specific and it can be called without a bearer token. So if you've done things with Office 365 Dev, a lot of times when I'm sending data or working with data, I need to provide an access token in the header of all my requests. You don't have to here. So again, just more of a reason why you need to keep that webhook URI very secure. So what you're seeing over on the right is just a, this happens to be an MVC controller, and it's reading a few things. It's looking to see if there was an error, but if there wasn't, it's pulling out the group name, the webhook URL, it's creating a subscription, and ultimately then redirecting back to the state, which in this case, the state is the web page the user was on before they initiated this connection. In terms of calling webhooks, you're going to get that webhook URL. It is basically a REST endpoint that you can just post data to. So you're just going to be able to post your data into it. Nothing fancy here. It's just a regular standard HTTP post with an application type of JSON. The type is JSON that you're going to send in. And it, I will say that the type of JSON that you send in is going to be very specific. It's going to use the connector card schema. And really to talk about that connector card schema, let's look at a more complex connector card. So this is a connector card for Trello, and you can see there's a lot going on here. There's even a user's picture. There's some images down at the bottom. There's an action. There's all kinds of details in this. So let's look at kind of what makes up the JSON workload to be able to create this. So here's the JSON. It's a nice little block here. I will say that we have some great SDKs that are going to help you build this JSON data in a more strongly typed fashion if you're in things like .NET. If you're working in Node or something else, Node's going to be easy with JSON data anyway. But in this case, you can see I have this block of JSON. So how does this map? So first of all, I'm going to have a title. In this case, I have a title for things. I have this sections area where I can specify some additional detail. Here I've put an activity image, I've put some text, I've put a subtitle, all that's in here. I have a details section where I can provide some additional details, maybe some additional metadata over the transaction that occurred. I have an images section down here at the bottom where I can put an array of images that display directly in this connector card. I never have to go out to a third-party application. It can all be right here. And then finally, I have a potential action section where I can put all kinds of actions that a user can go act upon directly from this connector. So that's kind of the makeup of this. I will say that the full schema of the connector cards is out on the Outlook dev site, so dev.outlook.com. If you go to the connectors link, they have a full reference for the connector card. And again, we'll make sure that there's a, hopefully wherever this is posted, we'll have a link to the .NET SDK that already makes this strongly typed. So you can just create a message class, populate it with what you want, and you can just say message.send, and it does everything for you. Awesome, so let's look at developing some connectors. So I'm gonna jump out of here and go over to Visual Studio. And this is a really simple little application, but I want to highlight a few of those concepts that are important to understand. I'll get Zoomit going here so you can see things a little bit better. But actually, first, before we jump into code, let's look at registering the connector. So here I'm at the connectors dashboard. And again, if you look at my URL, it's just outlook.office.com/connectors/publish. And so I've already signed in and I have a few connectors registered. I'm going to go to one that's already registered just so that you can see the details already populated. So I give it a name, I can give it a logo, so give it an image, all kinds of detail here. The really important concept for this to actually function is this redirect URL. It does support things like localhost, so I have this as localhost now, but this would definitely need to be more of like a public website once you have this ready to publish. And it can be like an authenticated public website, but it needs to be something that's accessible so that the redirect can work. And then once I'm done with this and I save it, you can see here's where it generated my markup. And if you look at the details of the markup here, you can see I have things like a state, and it just kind of puts a placeholder of my app state, but you can replace that with anything you want. That is your place to put something useful that you'll get back once the whole flow is complete. There's an app ID so that the Office 365 knows what connector is connecting in. And then there's this callback URL that is saying, hey, once we're done with everything in consenting this connector, where are we going to bring the information back to? And so that's what we're looking for. In this case, it's just going to be localhost/callback. So I actually took this exact markup, I copied it, and I went and put it into my little application here. In fact, I put it in the kind of main layout of my MVC application. You can see that right here. It's going to be in the nav bars area. I do have a little check to see if the user is authenticated. Let me zoom in on this a little bit. So you can see I'm checking to see if the user is authenticated. If they are, I'm going to output this block of markup that was given to me by that connector publishing portal. So you can see it has that same, in this case, I'm just going to redirect the user back to the root of the site. I have my app ID, and then further down, I have my callback. So really great that I can just simply drop this into a website. So let's take a look at that. I'll go ahead and zoom back out. And let's go ahead and run our website. Now, again, this is just a really simple MVC app. What I thought I'd do is I'd create like kind of an online classified ad site, kind of like Craigslist. But since we're Microsoft, I thought I'd call it Bill's List for Bill Gates. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but why not? So this is going to go ahead and launch here. You're not going to see the Connect to Office 365 initially because we're going to force the user to be authenticated. That was that little check that we had inside of our markup. So once this loads, it's going to look like just kind of a normal site. You can see there's nothing here in the header that indicates that I can connect to Office 365. But once I click My List, it's going to force me to sign in. So I'll go ahead and sign in with my credentials. And now that I'm signed in, it's allowing me to go to some of those secure areas of the site, but it's also going to display that Connect to Office 365 icon up in the upper right. So there you can see it up here at the top, Connect to Office 365. And again, the markup did that for me automatically. And that's everywhere on my site. So if I go back to the root of the site, it's still there. So let's kind of take it the next step is, well, let's do the redirect and how do I handle that callback when it comes when the information comes back to me. So let me jump over to my code. And here is my callback controller. And this is the exact same code that was in the slide, but what you can see here is it's just kind of the root of the callback, so it's the indexed view. And I'm checking to make sure that an error didn't occur. So if an error occurs during the subscription to the connector, that'll come back as an error in the URL. So you can certainly check for those. But if the error's not there, I'm going to pull out the group name and the webhook URL just off of the URL. It's just going to be a URL parameter, so I'm simply just saying request and giving it that name. Then I'm saving the subscription. So this is this little Bill's List entities. It's just using entity framework. So it's saving this into a database so that I can use it later. Again, maybe later on some transaction occurs and I want to send that in. And then finally, I'm redirecting back to the state because I'm using that state parameter that came in here. I'm using that just to figure out where the user came from. All right, so let's, I'll put a breakpoint here just to see it working. And let's go ahead and make a connection to Office 365. So I'll click on connect to Office 365. You're gonna see it's gonna redirect me out of my site into Office 365 to sign in. And it's gonna have me select a group. So I can select any one of these groups. We'll go with our O365 Dev Series, and I'm going to say allow. So I'm selecting that group, and now I'm gonna say allow. And that should hit my controller. So you can see here I'm hitting my breakpoint, and we could step through this, and I'll just kind of go through this. We don't have an error. And we can see if I hover over this, and I'll zoom in to see it. Our group is O365 Dev Series, and here is our webhook URL. It's kind of this long endpoint that has a couple of GUIDs of like what our app is and what the subscription ID is, things like that. But ultimately, this URI is what I can start posting data to. I don't need any sort of token. I can just start posting data to it because the user has consented. So I'm going to go ahead and I'll zoom back out and just press play. One thing that now that this is connected, if I go back to my group, let's go back to my Office 365 group, you can see I have new activity and it says, hey, you are now connected to Bill's list. By the way, it's a little bit late after the fact, but you can see that there's the tweet that we did using the Twitter connector. But I have this just indication that says Bill's list is now connected to this Office 365 group. So imagine this being like maybe just a garage sale group within a company, just like kind of a social thing. Maybe I want to, every time a new classified ad is posted, maybe I want to send it into this group to be displayed. So let's go back to our site and look at our listings. There's a lot of listings that are already here. So you can see, again, it looks very similar to Craigslist. I'm going to delete the listing that I have here for Surface Book. Now let's create it again. So I'm just going to call this the Surface Book. We'll sell it for $1,000. The location is Dallas, Texas. And the category is computers. The body is a great computer. And then finally, I'm going to select an image for this. And hopefully I have, there's my Surface Book image. And we'll go ahead and say save. Now, as this is saving, it's also going and looking at all the subscriptions we have and sending this data, this transactional data, into our Office 365 group. So I could show that to you here really quickly. We'll just go out to our, let's see. Here's our items controller. And here's the create, where I'm creating a new item. Once I save the item, which is occurring right here. I'll zoom in on this a little bit. Once I'm saving the new item, I am then going to look through all my subscriptions and call the webhook for each one of those subscriptions. And again, when I use the term subscription, it is a connection to one of those Office 365 connectors. And so for every one of those connectors that's been added, I'm going to go through and I'm going to send that item across that webhook. If we want to look at that in more detail, I'll zoom down here to the bottom. There's a cleaner version of this if you use the SDK, but in this case, I wanted you to be able to see what's going on, is we're basically building a block of JSON data. There you can see our JSON data that we're just building as like a string. And then we're just posting it. We're just using an HTTP client, and we're just posting it async, just a really simple post that we're using that webhook endpoint. So if I zoom out on this now, let's go back to our connector and see if we got our data. And there you can see there's some new activity. And if we say refresh, there's a new listing was posted to Bill's list. And you can see it was a Surface Book for $1,000 posted by me. And so I'll just zoom in on that. At this point, I could do all kinds of things. I could maybe say, you know, want or... I could have all kinds of conversations around this. I can like it if I want. Again, that's the benefit of this being a part of the conversations pane of Office 365 groups. Now, in this case, every single thing that's posted to Bill's list is going to show up in our Office 365 group. Maybe I don't care about every category. Maybe I wanted to filter this down by specific categories, or maybe I want to have maybe a buy it now type of link action on here. And so let's maybe transition into some of the more advanced scenarios for building connectors. So let's jump back to the slides. And let's talk about advanced scenarios. All right, so the first advanced scenario we're going to look at is filtering and aggregation. And this is kind of the exact thing that we just talked about where, hey, I don't want every single post on Bill's List. I just want maybe specific categories of posts, or maybe even more filtered than that. You know, maybe I want to put a price threshold that says, you know, anything that's a computer and it's under $1,000, I want to know about it. And so that's what we can achieve. And the way we're going to achieve that in a third-party connector is on the callback. Once you basically get the information back from Office 365 that says, yes, this user wants your connector, and here's the webhook to start sending data, instead of just saving it away and sending the user kind of on back to where they were, is you can provide that opportunity to say, okay, let's kind of complete that connection with a little bit of additional information. So in this case, I have basically developed just a form on that callback that says, hey, select the category. Just really simple. Just provide one drop-down list that says, select the category that you actually want the subscription for. And then not only am I saving the webhook, I'm saving the webhook for a specific category. Again, the same thing could be said for aggregating data. Again, on that callback, you could specify a form where the user could select, well, I just want things every hour, or I want things daily. And so that can easily be achieved on the callback. You can absolutely do this in a third-party connector. The second thing is actions, and this is an area that I think you'll see over the course of time evolve a lot for connectors. Today, connectors, the V1 version of connectors supports the view action, which what that means is I can basically put a set of hyperlinks across the bottom. It's just a hyperlink. It's just going to take the user, maybe pop them out into a new browser tab or window where they can go and perform some sort of action. But they're going to actually have to perform that action in another window. But you can be creative on how you use this. You can simply put any sort of information you want on that action link. So I could add all kinds of parameters. I could put some sort of special GUID that maps back to something. And that would allow you to do much more advanced things. So in our scenario of Bill's List, I could maybe put like a short-lived, I don't know, maybe some sort of token that allows them to buy it now. There's all kinds of things that you could do with this and be creative, but just know that the view action is actually just hyperlinked. So it's going to take the user into another kind of page that you own that you can do whatever you want in. You could certainly take them into authenticated pages. It'll kind of force them through whatever authentication flow you have for your website. And so you could see that here. I've just added a buy it now link to it. In the future, where I see this evolving is I think there will be actions that I can perform without ever leaving. So maybe run some script, and you can provide like a little bit of script that gets run that maybe just performs an operation behind the scenes without ever having to open up a web page. And then the last one advanced scenario I wanted to talk about was mobile applications. I do a lot of mobile development around Office 365. And when I saw, I've actually built a lot of mobile applications around groups. And I was like, man, I have this great mobile app. It would be great if I could actually send data into this group and initiate all that from a mobile application, because there is no web component to some of the things that I build. And so as I was looking at how connectors worked, it dawned on me that this is absolutely something that's achievable in a mobile application. And the way you're going to do that is you're going to take that redirect URL that is part of that markup that gets generated. You can take that and open it up in a browser control or browser plugin. So every mobile platform supports that. They all have some sort of concept of a browser control or in-app browser. Now, what you can do is load kind of that redirect page and just let the entire flow occur. The other thing that you need is you need to listen for every change in the URL of that in-app browser or that browser control. And again, that's something that almost every platform supports. You can simply say, hey, every time a page is loaded, I want to know about it. And what you're going to do is listen for the callback. That's what you're looking for, is when that callback occurs. And so that's actually exactly, that's the code you see right here, is that if you look at the code in this page, I'm basically just opening up an in-app browser. This happens to be Cordova in a Ionic app, but again, you could do this on any mobile platform. Is I'm opening up that page, and then on that in-app browser, you can see I have this reference to it. I'm adding an event listener for load start. What that's saying is anytime a page starts to load in here, I want to know about it. And I can simply just look at what the page is that's loading, and if it's my callback, that tells me that things are complete. So that's exactly what you see here, is I'm just listening for load start, and then if the load start is my callback URL, I can simply go and parse out the parameters that are there. So I will have the webhook and the group that are there. And so what I thought we'd do is demo a couple of these scenarios. So let's jump over back to our code. This is kind of a new derivative of Bill's List that goes through a little bit more of those advanced scenarios. One thing that I'm doing here is I'm actually implementing a form that the user can select what criteria they want to create that subscription based upon. And so you can see that here, this is my same callback, but rather than saving the subscription from the very start, I'm basically displaying that subscription into the view. So I'm just kind of looking at pulling out the group and the webhook. I'll zoom that here. I'm getting the group and the webhook. I'm initiating the subscription, but rather than saving it to my database, I'm just returning the view. So that view is going to have all my subscription information. It's also going to have a drop-down list where the user can select the category. So once that view gets posted, it's going to then save the subscription and redirect the user back to where they started. So let me just kind of run this one to show you what this looks like. It's going to look a little bit different. Oh, I need to stop our IIS port. Try that again. Well, see if it should be stopped now. Try it one more time. There we go. Looks like it's going to be happy. And so, again, the application is going to look pretty much identical to how it did the first time. The only difference here is we're going to, after we kind of do the sign-in or the consent to the group connector, it's going to prompt us to select what category we want it for. So now we're signed in. I can go to listings, view all the listings. Once I'm ready to connect to Office 365, notice that I'm on items here. In fact, I could go to an individual item. Let's look at this tricked out chainsaw. I like that. So here's this tricked out chainsaw. I'm going to go ahead and say connect to Office 365. I'll select my group. We'll select maybe garage sale. Say allow. So you can see it's coming back to our callback, but we're just pulling out all the details. So I can see the state. If you zoom in, if I were to zoom in there on the state, you can see that the state is, it sees that I was on item 4, which is just an ID of the item. But I'm not actually save anything at this point. I'm just returning the view. I'm not going to save anything until I actually get that category that they want it for. So here it is. It says, hey, it's the Office 365 garage sale group that you selected, and now select the category. In this case, I think it would probably be under tools. So we'll select tools, and then I'll say save, and here's that post. So you can see I have both an HTTP GET view and an HTTP POST view, and this is where I'm actually taking the details of the subscription. And if I go and look at the details of this subscription and zoom in, you can see it has now the category of tools that I'm going to save into it. So I have the webhook URI, I have the group name, and I know what category it's for. Cool. So we'll go ahead and let that play out. This will also implement some additional actions, but let me jump over and we'll look at the mobile scenario, because ultimately, in this case, an action, it's just another view that we're or a link that we're redirecting to. So let me jump over to, this is just an iOS emulator here, and I built a sample application that we'll make available, but this is just an Office 365 connector test application. So I'm gonna go ahead and launch this guy. And there's nothing fancy about this. It's kind of a Hello World type of application. So it's gonna have some tabs across the bottom that just kind of let you toggle between things. But if you look at this here, and I'll zoom in on it, you can see that this is a page that says, you can connect this mobile application to Office 365 so that activity can you perform can be sent into a specific Office 365 group. You just need to initiate the connection. And here's the connect to Office 365 button. You can see right now we don't have a group or a webhook. So when I say connect to Office 365, here's that in-app browser that's loading. And in this case, I can sign in with some credentials. And hate to do this, but just so you guys don't see my password. There we go. We'll go ahead and say sign in. Here it's asking me to select a group, so I could go and it's kind of cut off the screen here, so let me zoom out just a bit. I can go select all the different Office 365 groups. You can see they're all listed here. So here's our O365 dev series, and I can just say allow. And once that completes, we're listening for the change. And now that we saw the change, we closed that in-app browser, but not before we were able to read the group and we got the webhook for that group. So really great way for you to kind of enable these powerful groups from things like a mobile application. It's not just something that's for the web, especially when a mobile application can load web content. You can do that from just about anywhere. All right. So let's kind of summarize things. Go back to our slides. So in summary, we kind of went through just a bit of introduction of Office 365 dev opportunity. We looked at what an Office 365 connector is and why you would care about one. We looked at how to develop an Office 365 connector. So it's things like registering a connector, then taking that registration and putting it in your site somehow so that people can kind of initiate the flow. There's a callback that you create so that you can listen for the data that's coming back from Office 365 and saving it later. And then there's actually sending the data in through that webhook URL. We even looked at some of the advanced scenarios for building connectors. So things like being able to have, you know, custom configuration to the subscription by handling that on the callback, and even things like mobile applications. So there's lots of great information that's available for you online around connectors and more. We have a developer program where you can go get free Office 365 tenants. You know, unlike an Office add-in where you, as long as you have Office, you can build those. For things like an Office 365 connector, you have to have Office 365 to do that. And so you can get a free version of it by joining the dev program. We also have tons of different channels, if you will, that we provide information for Office 365 development. Everything from Twitter to we have a podcast, we have the Office 365 dev show on Channel 9, YouTube. We have all kinds of different places where you can find information. So with that, thanks for joining this module on building Office 365 connectors.